of how God tells us, of how God has revealed himself. Today's message is peace. And I want to start by saying that this peace, it's not a human peace. It's not a peace, love, and mung beans baby peace. This peace that we're exploring today, it is critical that we seek to understand that when we consider peace and God, we're not trying to transfer our understanding of peace onto God. Okay? What we're trying to do is we're trying to bring an understanding of who God is onto peace. Now, that requires us to come humbly because we think we know what peace is. I do. We sing songs around peace. It's a beautiful concept. But this morning, what I hope to reveal is far more than a concept. I want to reveal a person. We have these hope, peace, love, joy. They lead us to someone. They lead us to Christ. And so this morning, as we look at the scriptures, and as we seek to understand what peace is, can I encourage you, allow your mind to go that one step further to think who peace is. You can all go home now because that's my message. You see, I think sadly for many of us, we're looking for a human concept or construction of what peace is. A lazy, comfortable peace. Oh gosh, if I could just go home this Saturday and not go to a five-year-old birthday party and just sit and watch the TV and do nothing. Oh, peace. That was my Saturday. Is that the peace that Christ has promised? For unto us, can we change the lights as best we can to try and improve that? I know it's not going to be easy because I've chosen the wrong colours. Sorry. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We sing these songs. What a wonderful thing to hope for. Is it a reality now? Or perhaps another carol. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Spoken by the angels. We sing songs about this peace. But I think that somehow, if the truth be known, this peace that they're expressing, this peace on earth where there's no war, there's no famine, there's just everything's right, I think that's a peace for the future. I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive and work towards that peace. I think we should. I think we're called to. I think that's part of the unpacking of the kingdom of God. But I think the peace that Christ offers today can be found in our key passage for today. It's from John 14. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, this is Jesus speaking, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we look at your words, as we open your Bible and allow it to read us, we so often approach your word and we suppose or impose what we believe it means. God, I want to come to you humbly this morning. And I want to say, would your word read me? Sharper than a two-edged sword. That's how you describe your word. Able to cut marrow from the bone. God, would you cut away my preconceptions of peace and reveal your peace? Peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. So this passage tells us that peace is the work of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Who can name them? What are the fruits? Love, joy, peace, kindness. I love that one. Kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness. I mean, self-control. I forgot that one. These are incredible gifts. Fruit, whether it's a fruit or a gift, at the end of the day, it comes from Christ. It's something that we receive from Him as He develops in us His nature, His being, His peace. A fruit of the Spirit. I do not give to you as the world would give. I don't give you the world's peace. I don't give you your concept of peace. Not what you think peace is. Don't be troubled. Don't worry. Why would he say don't worry? Why? The peace of God that will surpass all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love this passage because it unpacks, I think, a truly biblical picture of our present biblical concept of peace. These words were written not from the comfort of a theological college. They were written as Paul sat under the Colosseum, waiting to be put into the arena, to experience whatever death the government of that day could imagine. And we all know the different ways that they did that. A peace that surpasses all understanding. Paul writing about peace that he has and is able to live out of and from, not sitting at home with a cup of coffee and finding this beautiful time with the Lord. Ah, oh, so beautiful, Jesus. You and I get to go home and we get to sit and have a coffee. The kids have gone to school and it's quiet. No. Now this peace is a peace that is present and known in an incredible time of anguish. How will I die? What will the pain be like? Will I be ripped limb from limb? In this place, Paul writes about a peace that surpasses understanding. You see, Christ invites us into risk, into hardship. This is the gospel message of peace. Sorry, this is not a church where you're going to receive a gospel that it's like, you know what? God's for you. So you go get that new property. You go get that dream job. You have an amazing life. Peace. Congratulations, by the way, on the sale of your property. That's really cool. It's really, really cool. And I'm happy. And I know that God leads us into these good things, you know? So I'm not saying that God doesn't give good things, because Scripture tells us every good gift comes from the Father. But actually, His words tell us that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Do not be afraid. Know my peace. This is a God that is present, and his peace is known, incredibly so, in the difficult times. What are you facing? What is your space right now where there is great suffering? Perhaps it's not a physical suffering, though I know some of you are experiencing incredible physical challenges. Perhaps it's emotional. Perhaps it's spiritual. A significant battle going on for your mind, for your spiritual well-being, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, I don't think this passage specifically extends to your body, your wallet, your physical well-being. Again, I don't want to say that God does not attend to those things. I know, and I can testify to his faithfulness, his goodness in my life. But he promises to guard your heart and your mind in, not in peace, in Christ Jesus. So often I think we want a peace that's removed from Jesus. If I could just have peace. This past week, I had a short conversation with a lady who's a Buddhist. In real anguish over the situation in America. And she couldn't find peace. Now, in their way of finding peace, one is to meditate and to go into oneself and to find that place of peace. And she couldn't. She couldn't find that place of peace. Because I believe a peace that surpasses understanding. She couldn't find some place where she could find peace, a peace that could bring me to a place of, it's going to be all right. She couldn't get that. The problem could not surpass the issue for her in her mind. For us, we can offer a peace that surpasses understanding, beyond what we could reason. You know what? If I can get all the information and I could find this place where I'd be able to reconcile, you know what? It's going to be okay. I can see that it's going to be okay. What do you do when you can't reach beyond that point? This is the peace that Jesus offers. A peace that is beyond what we can imagine, that we can seek to reconcile when something is bigger than what we can handle. Because in our journey, in our walk with Christ, we're told to take up our cross. That's our invitation. Our invitation is not to a peaceful life. Here's a scripture, talks about peace. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, says Jesus, I haven't. I've come to divide people against each other. Does that sound like the peace you're hoping for? The peace that Christ offers, that peace that we kind of hope for, is a end of time peace where all things are reconciled. But now, in the process of discovering who Christ is, the reality is that families will be broken. Now, I know for us in our culture, that might be kind of strange to think. How can somebody be so worried that if you choose to follow Jesus, they're not going to talk to you? I know there are some in this church that cannot engage with the family because of their faith. In other countries, the cost is life. If you choose to follow Christ, there will not be a peace, a peaceful peace that we like to think of or hope for today. So I'm sorry that I've come today and I present a peace that's not peaceful. I want to offer a perspective of a peace that surpasses what we determine and hope for and think we know. This passage that we looked at earlier, it is Philippians. In Philippians it continues. It doesn't leave us with this peace that's unattainable. It actually tells us how we can step into this peace. Now, please don't think that somehow this is something that we can construct, that by following these steps that Paul presents, that somehow we can wrestle and control and dictate what peace is. But understand, this is the principles that sit in behind the peace that is offered to us. The first one I want to present is right praying. You know, with an approach to finding peace, prayer is critical. Critical, because when we pray, we are saying, God, I lay down what I know. I lay down what I want, and I allow you to transform me. One commentator has broken it down, this verse here, presenting it as prayer start with recognizing who God is. God, you're God. You're the boss. You know all things. And so I come humbly. It follows the steps of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's our starting point. Supplication, flash word. It's like, Jesus, I need you. This is this place where we come broken. We come desperate. And we cry out for those things that we need. If we don't need God, something's wrong. We should be living a life where we need God. And then thanksgiving. Whatever you ask for in my name, I will do it so that the Father will get the glory. Let me say it again. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. When we pray from a perspective of asking in the name of Jesus, again, not some magical name, but understanding that we're asking in his way of thinking, in his authority, by his agenda, his heart, in his name. In other words, we're acting on his behalf. God will answer it. So right praying, I think, is a really important foundation to knowing the peace of God. Verse 8. Sorry, I had Jesus there. Just, I wanted to layer Jesus on top of everything this morning. Whatever is true, whatever is honest and just, whatever is pure, lovely, and admirable, think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Right thinking. What we think, what we dwell on. This is a place that brings peace. Are we dwelling on Jesus? You mean, I look at this stuff and I say, whatever is true, whatever is honest, just, whatever is pure, lovely, and admirable, I look at this and I think, well, that's code for Jesus. That's what I see. Jesus. Are we dwelling on Jesus? Because he's the one that will bring us to that place of peace. So right praying, right thinking. It doesn't end there. The following verse: keep putting into practice all that you've heard and seen. Does this sound familiar? Hearing, discerning, responding. Are we responding to the very things that God is calling us to? That's who we'll find peace. Isaiah 32:15-17. Till the Spirit is poured on us from on high. So again, it starts with, this is a gift from the Spirit. This is not of our doing. We don't conjure up this peace. This is something that God gives us. When the Spirit is poured on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest, the Lord's justice will dwell in the desert. His righteousness live in this fertile land. And the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. Jesus. Jesus. With him coming and making a way, he is the one that has poured out the Spirit upon us. He is the one that brings his peace. My favorite passage from Psalms is Psalm 23. It links to our hope that we had last week. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's an incredible glimpse of peace. But again, this passage is not written in a time of joy and happiness. This is David writing this incredible psalm when his son Absalom has taken the kingdom, raped his wives. His world is destroyed. His heart is broken. And he writes this. Now, incredibly, I love this passage because he says, my cup runneth over. This generous, incredible goodness of God that never stops being poured out. This is where we find our peace. This God who poured himself out. Not this abstract concept of peace, but this peace that is demonstrated to us in the fullness of Christ pouring himself out. And I love within the Jewish culture, here is David writing this psalm. He's seated at the table that the Lord has prepared for him, and his cup's overflowing. He can't get up. He can't leave the table. He's not allowed. In that culture, you can't leave the table if there's anything left in the cup. When the cup's empty, then you may leave. And God says, I will pour so that it never runs dry. But God, there's a battle on outside for the very place that you've called me to be. And God says, I know, just stay right there. I've got it. Just look at me. But God, my son, he's raping my wives. I know. But stay focused on me. This is our peace. In spite of what is happening, whatever is happening in your life, this is the peace. He is our peace. And so, this morning, I want you to come to the table. And I don't want you to leave. I want you to come to the table and never leave. Can I have some people to come and pass out the bread and the wine? Sorry, the juice. That'd be great if you could come and help me. Thank you. And as this is brought to you, as peace, as Christ is brought to you, take it and don't leave. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you have given all. You have poured out yourself for us. And we can find you that surpasses all understanding. You are our Prince of Peace. Thank you for allowing yourself to be broken on the cross. We hold this bread, aware that you allowed yourself to be broken. And we drink this cup that represents the never-ending peace that you pour upon us. Grace, mercy, love, kindness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to leave you with an image. Peace. Peace poured out for you. Lord Jesus, as we go out this week, would we know you? Would we not seek to divorce peace and love and kindness and all these beautiful things from you? We thank you that your Spirit goes with us. You go with us. As we go out into this world this week, may they encounter peace through us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.